This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Attorney General Roy Cooper is challenging Duke Energy's rate hike. The North Carolina Utilities Commission granted Duke Energy a rate increase last week. It allows the company to raise their prices 4.5%. Duke Energy and Progress Energy merged just over a year ago, and one of the merger's core selling points was that the company would pass the savings on to customers, hopefully avoiding hikes like this one. Bruce Henderson is the energy and environment reporter for the Charlotte Observer. Welcome, Bruce.
Glad to be here.
Tell us about this rate hike. Why does Duke Energy say it needs this increase?
Well, because they've built a couple of more power plants, which is the usual reason for utility to seek a rate hike. Duke added a new coal-burning unit at its Cliffside plant, which is about an hour west of Charlotte, and then it added another power plant fueled by natural gas at its Eden plant in Rockingham County.
So tell us about this. It's a 4.5% increase, less than what they had initially asked for. And what is it going to mean in my bill on average?
It's going to mean about $7 a month more, but you have to take other factors into consideration. The 4.5%, by the way, is about half of what Duke had originally asked for, which is 9.7%, and it does go up after 2 years to 5.1%. The 5.1% translates to about $7 a month on the typical residential bill, but the thing to remember is that this is the third hike by Duke Energy Carolina since 2009, so it's sort of a cascade of these things.
Right, and now we were told, you know, part of the efficiency of bringing these two large energy companies together, Progress and Duke, would be there'd be some efficiencies and, you know, costs would go down or at least be controlled. What does this rate hike say about that part of the merger?
It doesn't say anything directly about that. The merger was predicated on a promise by the new company, the new Duke, to pass along $650 million in savings to customers. Now, most of the savings will come from fuel cost. If you're operating one company instead of two, you can buy fuel more cheaply, and you can also operate your combined fleet of power plants more efficiently. The way that will be passed to consumers is not in the rates itself, but in the fuel portion of your power bill. So you've got your bill reflects a kilowatt per hour charge. That's the rate. And then it also includes some other factors, the biggest of which is the cost of fuel to Duke. And so the $650 million would be reflected in the fuel portion of the bill.
Well, I'm still a little confused. Does that mean part of my bill went down and part of it went up?
Yes, exactly. And so what the $650 million would do is offset the impact of rising rates.
So why does Attorney General Roy Cooper want to appeal this latest rate hike?
Well, you know, one of his Cooper's jobs is to be a consumer advocate, among other things. And he says, hey, these are hard times. People are out of work. They're suffering. Seniors and people on fixed incomes are really struggling right now. And again, he says this is the third one in a year, in the last 4 years, rather. And so he's saying Duke has essentially too much profit margin built into its rates, and that profit margin needs to come down.
Well, that's an interesting negotiation. I mean, if a refrigerator maker or a car maker wants to raise prices, we can't say, hey, people are on tough times. You can't raise your prices, right?
Yeah.
Why is it true for a utility?
Because in a regulated state, which is North Carolina, the deal is this. The Utilities Commission is going to award a service territory to a utility like Duke Energy Carolina's, giving you a monopoly over that. If you want to buy electricity in Charlotte, you have to buy it from Duke Energy unless you want to make your own. And so the trade-off with that in granting a monopoly is that the commission expects the utility to charge the lowest rates possible. And it can look at what other utilities surrounding it in other states, what they charge. And that's sort of a barometer in a sense of whether Duke is being as efficient as it can with its spending. And it has hearings, obviously, where they bring in economists and they look at whether Duke is operating efficiently and whether those that efficiency is being passed on to consumers.
So when you look at a profit margin, Duke says we need a little over 10% profit margin to operate. I mean, what does that mean? If to somebody who's not well-educated in finance like myself, I'm thinking, gee, if you had 3, 4, 5% margin just to, you know, prepare you for a rainy day, that's plenty. And then, you know, as times get better, we'll talk about more.
It's called a return on equity, and it's a profit margin for investors, basically. If you're a shareholder or another investor in Duke, you want some return on your money. And so it is, by most business notions, a pretty good deal to get a built-in return on equity. It's a maximum amount. It doesn't mean that you automatically will achieve that return, but it does sort of set the ceiling on what you can achieve. Cooper is saying that that return is a very prominent factor in setting rates, and that if you lower that return to, let's say, 8%, that you might not even need to have a rate increase.
All right. And he also appealed a rate hike in 2011. Tell us what happened there.
Well, he won, which is it's unusual for him to appeal, and it's also unusual for him to have won. But he said he made the same argument. He said that Duke's return on equity in that 2011 case was just too high and that the Utilities Commission had not properly analyzed the effect of higher rates and that return on equity on consumers. And so the Supreme Court remanded that case to the Utilities Commission. They sent it back and said, do it over again. That has not been resolved yet. The rates were that were granted did go into effect, but the commission has not yet resolved the remand about essentially the do-over that
well,
the Supreme Court asked for.
It's interesting because it seems there's a controversy over that the commission and Duke has said, okay, we'll look at it again, but we're not going to take in any new information. We'll just look at the data we had. And as I understand it, the Attorney General's office says, no, you need to reopen hearings and take a look at some new information. Am I right about that?
Yes. I mean, there are, Duke would say, listen, we've heard from lots of economists in that case, and we don't need to hear more about what people think about it. We just need to state the case better. We need to justify in writing the rate hike that the commission granted. Cooper says, no, we really need to hear from some outside voices that we haven't heard from in the case. So there's a substantial difference of opinion on that.
So when we say he won the case in the 2011 rate hike, it really hasn't been resolved yet. It's just that we've reopened it, and there's a possibility that that might not stand.
The victory, I think, from Cooper's point of view, would be that it was remanded and sent back to the Utilities Commission for a do-over.
So let's talk a little bit about how utility companies make money. I mean, we make the assumption that they make money by selling electricity, and the idea is you want to spend less making electricity and distributing it than it costs you to produce it. Is there any other way that a utility company makes money?
Sure. It's a very infrastructure-heavy industry, maybe the most infrastructure-heavy industry. Power plants can cost billions of dollars to build. They last for decades. So when a company like Duke builds a new power plant, it will go to the Utilities Commission and get permission to do that. You don't just go off willy-nilly and build a power plant, then ask for permission later. So they get that permission, and then the second step is they come back to the commission, as they have in the rate case, and said, hey, we need to get our money back for investing all that money into building the plant. We need to get it back from consumers, and that becomes the rate case. When they build infrastructure, build new power plants, they get their money back, and then they also get some profit margin on top of that.
And again, what's the role of investment in all of this? Because that really doesn't come back. If you're selling a share of stock, I sell that to you. That money, if I sell my share of stock in Duke Energy to you, the money that you spent on that stock share doesn't go back to Duke Energy. Do they use that equity investment? Does that come back to them, and can they use that in building this infrastructure?
Basically, the investment of into power plants is on the ratepayer side, customers like you
right.
and me. On the other side are investors or shareholders, and you know, not only is our utility is very infrastructure heavy, but they're also capital intensive. They have to attract investment to fund these operations up front. So they have to go to Wall Street, and Wall Street wants a good return on equity in order to attract corporate investors or institutional investors in Duke that would give them the money to build the power plant.
All right, Bruce. Thank you very much. Very helpful. Thank you.
Sure.
Bruce Henderson is the Energy and Environment Reporter for the Charlotte Observer. Just ahead, we're going to talk with UNC System President Tom Ross on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.